Good morning and welcome to Front Row Center, the Montana Public Radio Weekly Arts Interview. I'm Michael Marsalek. I'm being joined in our Missoula studios today by Ray Eknes. Ray is a professor in the Journalism School at the University of Montana and producer of the Montana Public Radio radio drama of The War of the Worlds, the reenactment that will happen Wednesday night. And this is the 75th anniversary. Hard to believe that long ago.
Yeah, the original was in 1938, a third-rated radio program at the time, Mercury Players on the air, Mercury Theater on the air. They had low ratings, and this obviously got them a lot of press at the time and kind of boosted them for a couple of years.
Well, and one of the first major things that Orson Welles did to put himself on the radar and pre-film for Orson Welles. And
right. I mean, he was a very young man, you know, barely in his 20s when all of this came about. He and these radio players, John Houseman was part of it, that people might remember that name. The players that ended up being in his movies later on in Citizen Kane were all part of this cast, and it was the first time we heard the immortal words, "We interrupt this program to bring you this news update." And people at the time thought it was real. There were approximately 12 million people listening at the time. 1938, radio was really at its heyday in the years just before television. This was the only entertainment that most of the country had, and it frightened people. It sent people into the streets. It sent people to the shoreline to try and get away from these invading Martians.
That's a fascinating story, and the cultural phenomenon is really interesting, too, because you're right, people really did believe that it was a true story. I was just reading that one of the things Orson Welles did is he timed the point during which the landing in Grover's Mill and the Martians appearing happened for a kind of a break time in one of the other popular programs, figuring if people tuned away, they would tune in at that moment. He also deliberately was able, since there weren't commercials, he was able to put the only disclaimers at the very beginning and at the very end of the program. So people tuning in the middle really didn't know.
They did their research. The Crosley service, which they refer to in the script, was the service that measured ratings at the time. So they knew how many people were listening. They knew the listening audience would turn at certain times from the other more popular programs, which was at the time Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, and they would have a music interlude at a certain time. So they timed it out so when those people turned from the music interlude to see what else was on, people switched.
Yeah.
Like with a remote control today, they would tune into a different station to find out what was on there, and all of a sudden we hear the dance music of Ramon Raquello and it being interrupted with the news bulletin. People who hadn't heard the beginning that it was a radio play had no idea what was going on. You have to remember that the politics of the time, Germany was invading countries across Europe. And there was we'd come out of World War I and were hesitant about going into World War II. And this was a time where people were very tense and their nerves were frayed that this was going to happen again. So when they start to hear that something's invading North America, it got their attention and sent them into the streets, in some cases into the streets.
Right. The Orson Welles adaptation is of H.G. Wells' novel, The War of the Worlds. Maybe just give a quick outline of the story for those that don't know it. Basically, it's a radio broadcast of a concert and all of a sudden they break in with this crazy news.
Yeah, it's like any other night on radio. You know, you have announcers, you go to a live music venue, and all of a sudden there's a news bulletin that pops up. And then we have the news reporters on location. So the idea is that during this music program, the news people come on and tell us about disturbance in the New Jersey farmlands, that something has been seen, something has crashed. They dispatch an announcer, a reporter out to the scene who gives us a word description of what it looks like. And it ends up being a spaceship. And we figure out that it's from the planet Mars and that these Martians are invading the world. And They take over across the world, and the next thing you know, that the main character, Professor Pearson, walks from New Jersey into Manhattan, into New York City, and finds that the Martians have been defeated by a small bacteria that their bodies couldn't deal with. So humanity wins again.
Yes, yes. Well, let's talk about the radio drama. You had this idea to celebrate the 75th anniversary and got permission to do this on radio. I get to be part of the production on Wednesday. It's going to be fun. Wednesday Night Live. Talk about what we're doing.
Well, this was one of my big things when I started out in radio when I was in college. We talked about this in radio history class. I remember buying an album, a vinyl album of it, and it had all of the news reports on this album that, you know, from all the newspapers at the time about the hubbub. Newspapers were losing audience to radio. Newspapers worried about television coming in, so they made a big point of this. Sometimes blew it out of proportion, whether things actually happened, sending people into the streets. But what we're going to do is this is now the 75th anniversary, and I've had this idea for a number of years that we should do this. And we got the rights to it, and KUFM, Michael Marsalek and William Marcus were great to allow me to kind of go with this and run with this. And I just think hearing the voices of William Marcus and Terry Conrad and Annie Gard and Michael and Gus Chambers, these iconic KUFM Montana Public Radio voices, it's just been so much fun to put together.
Well, it's going to be really fun. Live broadcast, live radio at 7:30 on Wednesday night, the 30th, the same night as the 75th anniversary. I also want to mention that there's a PBS documentary being released this coming week as well. The American Experience documentary, War of the Worlds, will be on Montana Public Television at 8 p.m. on Tuesday night, the 29th, and also repeating on the World Channel and also airing again at 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. on Halloween. This is a new documentary talking about this phenomenon. I was reading that within 1 month, newspapers had published 12,500 articles about the broadcast and its aftermath. It's amazing what a phenomenon it became.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first candid camera. It was the first punked. It was the first time that anyone had done this. And Wells would say the next day that it was completely, he had no idea this would happen, but he did. And you can almost see the smile on his face, or hear the smile in his voice as he talks about it. It made him a big name. It made him allow him to make the jump from radio, from doing small plays in New York City to doing big things, movies, bigger plays, writing books, which is what he always wanted to do. He had a big ego, and this kind of fed into it.
We're talking about the War of the Worlds and the anniversary of the radio drama and the reenactment that will happen on Wednesday night on Montana Public Radio. Maybe just ask quickly too, Ray, the idea about creating a Montana version. What a fun idea.
Yeah, this is not just the original version, but the Montana version of it. So we're going to do both. Yeah, one will, the Montana version will follow the original. And for me, it was, I'm always thinking, what if this were to happen not in New Jersey, but in western Montana? What if this spaceship didn't crash in Mr. Wilmoth's farm outside Grover's Mill, but if it crashed on the M on Mount Sentinel? You know, it was just kind of fun. You start to, when you read these books or you hear these radio programs from the past, you start to think about what if it was around here? And, you know, we threw this script together and it's really tongue-in-cheek, and it's kind of campy, and it's kind of fun. But, you know, I hope people enjoy it, because that, to me, was the fun of kind of adapting it.
Well, for those of us that work in radio, thank you, Ray, for bringing us the opportunity to do something live. There's nothing like doing live radio. We're all rehearsing and getting ready. It's Wednesday night at 7:30 on Montana Public Radio.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Ray.